Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550. Tee to Green on WGR is presented by Woods to Wedges, by Michelob Ultra, by the Western New York PGA, by Custom Turf, and by our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. It's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis.
7 o'clock, beautiful Saturday. We welcome you in to Tee to Green right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. As we are every week on location across Western New York doing our Tee to Green tour. This week brings us back to beautiful Lockport Town and Country Club. And with it being a beautiful weekend, we figured we would be outside. We are on their beautiful patio here for the next hour to get you caught up on everything you need to know on the local golf scene, national golf scene, and, of course, our opinions on everything going on here with golf across the world. With me, as always, Kevin Sylvester. Kevin, good morning.
I am afraid I'm going to take more shots. I've taken some shots already before the show from Raul here at Lockport Country Club, but well-deserved, by the way. So,
that's right.
But this, you know what? This new patio here, completed patio. It was new last year. I didn't make it for the second show when it was completed here.
Which they reminded you of.
Yes, and haven't been here since, which, no, shame on me because I love this place. I really do. And that walk down the left side, if you look at the front of the clubhouse, the left side of the clubhouse, down the path, the 18th green and
the grass path.
Oh,
I like that. I noticed that this morning.
Just
I took a stroll down early.
Jeff Mitis, good morning. Yeah.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Brian. How are you guys this morning?
We're great.
This is nice, just lounging outside. Can't complain. Another beautiful day for golf in Western New York. Going to be a little steamy, so get out early.
That's right. It's an early tea time today with what the weather's going to be. Lots of time then to hang out on this patio then, Kevin.
Well, I figure patio, pool, back to the patio, then maybe when it gets an evening, you go play another nine.
Third world problems.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Adjusting your schedule here today. Lots to get to here over the course of the hour. We'll talk, of course, about Lockport Town and Country Club, some of the things that they have going on here. We will be speaking with some members here from Lockport in just one moment. It's a busy week on the pro circuit. The women's have their PGA Championship. The seniors have their U.S. Senior Open. The Quicken Loans Tournament on the PGA Tour, Tiger Woods is playing. We'll talk about his rounds. We'll get our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. The International Junior Masters went on this week. A dramatic finish yesterday in the finals. We'll speak with Tournament Director Jeff Kamian for a few minutes at 7:20.
And a dramatic finish to a match I had with Steve Beatty from Custom Turf Wednesday at Elkdale.
Okay.
Maybe we'll have time for that. If we don't, I'll tell it another time.
Okay. You're good for those kind of stories, Kevin. So
it was a remarkable finish. That's all I'll say.
I did hear the story. We don't have 20 minutes, though. So
no, we don't.
No, that's right. That's right.
That's true.
Tee to Green here on the air, live from Lockport Town and Country Club, presented by the Western New York PGA, Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Michelob Ultra, Custom Turf, as Kevin just mentioned, and our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. So we're here at Lockport Town and Country Club, and as we do, we get to have the warm greeting, as we always do, with, I'll steal Kevin's phrase, the best-dressed general manager in all of Western New York golf. Roland O'Malley is with us here. Roland, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming. We always like having you here.
Have you noticed, by the way, since, I gave you that moniker that other GMs, like when you meet, they try to step up their game just to try to compete.
Like Brad
with you.
Pollock, he's tried.
Got there.
Yeah, no,
they
I know. Got there, it's like, why even bother, guys? Seriously.
He can't compete.
No, every time you see... if you,
even on a warm morning like this, he still brings out the sport coat, which is nice.
Have you
right.
It's nicely stitched, too. Have you ever not seen Ron O'Malley, like, dressed to the nines?
You know, I have not.
No, you haven't.
That's right. By the way, if you're watching us here live on our Tee to Green Facebook page, you can see it. So, or right. If you're listening, here's your chance to see how good he looks. Also with us here from Lockport Town and Country Club, Judd Noto, the head pro. Good morning, Judd.
Good morning, guys. I appreciate you guys coming out. It's obviously a lot warmer than last time. I think the last time it was we had a frost delay.
That's right. It was that we were here in April, and it was frosty, definitely. The whole month was. But, Judd, I know that when we spoke with you in April, you were just kind of getting started here with your being now your first full year here at the club. Just tell us how it's going for you on the golf side.
I've obviously been super busy, just starting and learning the new operation, but it's been great. Raul's great to work with. The membership's excellent. Our superintendent, Jason Ozzie, and his crew do a great job, and I'm lucky to be here. They do a great job out there. The course is excellent condition, and the members are great.
As you've gotten to know the golf course a little bit more now since when we spoke in April, what are some of the things you like about it?
You know, I had never played it before I accepted the position. I was actually very impressed with the club. I've never been out there, and there's a lot of different looks and holes out there. There's dune-ish-looking holes. There's parkland holes. So it's a good mix of holes. A lot of on this side of the road, there's a lot of up and down. You get side hill lies. The bunkers are deep. As I said, Jason and the crew do a great job, so it's excellent condition.
Have you learned to love or hate the third hole?
I don't like the tee shot there. The green's tough. That's one of my, if I had to say a least favorite hole, that would be one of my least favorite.
I think it's one of the greatest par fours in Western
New York. I like four of the best. That's my favorite hole out here.
That four's a great hole, too, coming back. Well, I always, three, I fade the ball. So,
like, so it fits you.
It fits me, but it doesn't mean it's an easy tee shot because you can, you know.
If you go too far left, you're dead. You're better off too far right because you're wide open.
Yes.
You'll be in the fourth fairway.
But fade's being generous, too, for your ball flight.
All right, well, power. Power fade.
Power cut. You told me to describe it, right?
But in the green, if you hit a good one, the green's no bargain either.
No, that's a tough green. Yeah. Depending on the quadrant it's in, it's easy to three-putt. I mean, I've had 30-foot putts that I've three-putted easily.
I think one of my greatest golf accomplishments, I birdied that hole once, and I didn't hit a great drive. I stuck a four-iron to, like, 15 feet and made the putt, and I felt like, wow.
I think that's what the plaque says out there.
And there is. There is a plaque out there. Raul and I worked that out. There's a plaque out there. But, no, it is a great golf hole, and I ask that kind of kiddingly, love or hate, but it's just one of those holes you talk about at Lockport.
It's a good hole, and I play a fade, so I like that, but it's a tough fairway to hit.
Having a variety of holes, though, like you said, that it sets up here, I mean, that's got to be good. And, Raul, you can jump in on this too, but for the membership, that we know that at times when you're trying to, you know, I know Jeff always suggests sometimes play a different set of tees or, you know, do something to maybe kind of change up to make it fresh to give you something new to focus on. But when you've got a nice variety of holes like that, then it doesn't really get stale for the membership.
No, we have a lot of members that play, I would say, the black tees, and they'll play the black tees on Saturday and the green tees on Sunday, so they mix it up a bit.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm noticing the trees. I mean, when I'm here every time, I notice how it's just a beautiful parkland golf course with these massive, massive trees. It doesn't look like there's a lot of ash out there because your trees still have lots of leaves on them. And it's just a beautiful walk through the woods. That's what I've always enjoyed when I'm here.
And we've done a lot, as you know, over the last 8 to 10 years, we were just overgrown because the trees were growing out over the tops of the fairway, so you were hitting under trees to try to get to an elevated green, and it was hard. So the course has become, let's say, more playable than unfair at sometimes, because sometimes it could have been, years ago, could have been a little unfair with all the growth. When you've got a club that, of course, was built in 1911, it's...
Those trees get big fast.
Those trees get big fast.
And so, you can't grow grass under trees very well, can you?
No.
That's a trend, though, that is beyond just... here at Lockport, because I know when we were at Glen Oak, you said some of the changes you've been working on is that, you know, taking out trees, and we've heard that from other places that we've been at throughout the year, that it's not that anybody's trying to promote themselves as, you know, hey, we're just going to chop down trees, but it's really for the benefit, as you had said, for the growth of everything else around it, and also, too, just to make it a little more playable for everybody.
And
right?
A lot of times the architect didn't design the hole with trees in mind. You know, everybody wanted that parkland look for a while that was popular, that was in vogue for a while. And I think when Oakmont decided to go back, and, I mean, talk about a change. If you've ever been to Oakmont before and after, you'd notice a massive difference. And from all accounts, their turf's better, and it seems like it's a better golf course. It seems harder. And yeah, trees, they're great until a certain point, and then they encroach on your play. Then they need to be trimmed or taken down.
7:09 the time here on Tee to Green. We're live on the patio at Lockport Town and Country Club. Thanks for being with us here on WGR as well as on our Tee to Green Facebook page. Lots to get to here over the course of the hour, so hope you can be with us here all the way up until 8 o'clock on WGR. Judd, I know you came, one of your jobs previously was at Shinnecock, right? Where,
sure.
Of course, we just watched the U.S. Open. They also took down some trees there, too.
They took down quite a bit of trees.
Yeah. That course itself, obviously, at some point took a little bit of abuse from the setup, from the USGA again, too. I'm curious of someone that knows the course really well like you, just what did you think of kind of some of the reaction of some of the players and how the USGA handled that? And just in general.
Yeah, here's a grenade, Judd. Answer that.
I was going to transition into in terms of just.
So where did they screw it up?
All right. But you know what? Let's beat around the bush. Yes, go for it. Your chance here. Go for it. No.
I think they did a great job of setting up. Unfortunately, on Saturday, I didn't have a lot of opportunity. I was so busy here at the club to watch it. Sunday, I watched quite a bit of it. And to me, it seemed like they didn't, the wind didn't cook up as much as they expected on Sunday, and they slowed the course up. So I would have preferred to have it a little bit faster on Sunday, being the U.S. Open, the final round. But I think the USGA did a great job setting it up. Obviously, it's a great course. I do wish it was a little faster on Sunday.
Are you paid by the USGA by any chance?
I'm
You're
not.
In the minority here, I think.
Well,
yes.
You know what? Maybe his comment. I thought Patrick Reed made some interesting comments post round on Sunday when he said he was asked about it on Fox, and he said, "Look, you know what? The course on Saturday, for the most part, was fair. There were two old locations that were about 2 yards off of where they needed to be. 13 and 15." He said.
And 15.
He goes, "They got them wrong by 2 yards. Other than that, it was fair."
Right, and they weren't expecting that wind. I think that day.
Yeah.
From what I gather from the people I talked to down there, the greens weren't that fast on Sunday. They were rolling 11 to 12, which for a U.S. Open Sunday
is a course like that set up to maybe have super fast greens? I mean, is it just
those greens can be super difficult because of the runoff areas?
Yeah.
Can they handle that? Is there too much slope to handle a lot of speed on those greens?
You know, there's slope on certain greens, like I would say 11 green can be super difficult, 13. 15 can be difficult. It just depends on the whole location and how fast they are. And that course, if anything, can change more than any course I've ever seen from 8 a.m. till 3 p.m. in the afternoon based on the winds. I've been there and they've stemped the greens at 12 in the morning and 15 and 3 in the afternoon. Mm. Just depends on the winds and the sunlight.
And you wanted to try that here at 14 with a left hole location. You wanted to put it at 14 on the stem.
I'm trying to get Raul to do.
That's right.
One of the great, another great holes here. You talk about slope, right? Because you have that
a lot
here.
Of movement in the greens.
Sure. Yeah. So talk. You know, a place like Shinnecock, which everybody saw on television, and here, like, there are several holes that have some great undulations here. One green comes to mind. 16 green, actually, I think is underrated in the undulation on some of the hole locations there. How does it compare?
I would say these greens, to be honest with you, have more movement. I would say the difference there is there's more runoff areas where it's shaved off around the greens, where if it gets quick, you can putt into bunkers, you can putt. The 10th hole.
I never want to putt into a bunker.
No, that's
you're saying Shinnecock, you can say at Shinnecock, you can putt into bunkers.
Right.
Okay.
I think these greens are more sloped, but there's more runoff and shaved areas. Like, I know at times the fairways there were rolling at 8.5 to 9.5. So if you get rolling, they're going to roll. Like the 10th hole, which you can't see on TV. I was watching it with a few guys here at the club. And the elevation change, similar to Augusta, you can't, TV doesn't do it justice. Mm-hmm. Like, it's up and down pretty significant compared to what you see on TV. On the 10th hole, the 7th hole, the Redan hole is very similar. You can putt into that bunker pretty easily.
Speaking of putting, we're going to get to our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week here in just one moment. And we're going to talk about putting here with Judd and with Jeff here as we broadcast live from the patio at Lockport Town and Country Club. From Lockport, the head PGA pro, Judd Noto, and also the general manager, Roland O'Malley. Roland, before we get to the tip here, let's just talk to you about, I know, you know, we're kind of giving Kevin a hard time about not seeing the patio complete, but now it's the first full summer of you guys having this whole venue here looking as spectacular as it does. I know you said it was a busy night here last night. The weather has been very cooperative this summer as well for things like that. How has that helped in terms of just what you guys can offer here to your members?
It's been, it was better than I thought. And I usually am a dreamer to think of, but I can't believe the change in the atmosphere and the amount of people that now, and it's very difficult in clubs, as all of us do know from being around them, it's difficult for your members to make that their destination. I've been blessed with the fact that now I'm seeing the same people coming here to eat three or four nights a week, sitting down here, sit upstairs. So it's become really, as of the last show we met Adam, I think our new chef, was on, it's just made, it's just all really come together, and it's really surprised me, and I'm happy about it. The members are happy, they're excited to be here. The golf course, of course, you know, is a draw for this club, and then adding this on to it as they're coming in the finishing holes and looking up towards the clubhouse, this bar will be open, there's some music playing. It's made a complete transformation of what we do here at Lockport.
I'm sure you had a few skeptics. Like with the project, and probably when they saw it now, they're like,
maybe one.
Okay. That one person came and said, well, you know, some people don't like change.
That's no, just, you're absolutely correct. Yeah. There was a lot
yeah.
of people that just said it was unnecessary.
But I bet now that they experienced it, they're like, well, you're right.
You know, when they call, they, can I get a reservation out on the deck tonight? I'm like, oh, really?
We'll make it happen for
and,
you.
And a lot of them have come, you know, they've come back, and that's good. You know, I really didn't think that it would make a difference. I thought it was a waste. It wasn't. Yep. It's what people want. People want places, unique places to go. I mean, look at this. You want to sit here and eat a hamburger or have a fish fry or have a steak and just look out over this at the night as the sun's setting. Come out here. You know, as Jeff said, and have a cup of coffee in the morning and just look at this in the morning. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. If you haven't been here and you're listening and you're thinking about it, you know, I know Roland would encourage, if you want to come by and check it out, come by and contact him, and they'll set up a little tour for you. But if you want to see the picture of our view, I just tweeted it out about 15 minutes ago at Brian WGR. You can check it out. Roland, I know you still have your trial membership going on. We're going to pass along that information.
What we found over the last few years is when you talk to people that are coming for a first time to join a club, a country club, and sometimes they're unsure. You know, they're, I don't know.
And I think understandably so, right?
It is.
You're nervous. You feel like it's a commitment. You're not sure of what it's all going to do.
Am I going to use it enough?
You know, right. You know, is there value? You have to go through all that. So what we've done is we've allowed 3 months trial. You pay the same dues as to whatever category you're in. At the end of the 3 months, you're not, this isn't for me. You go on. We got three people that joined on it this week alone, and usually we get about 10, 12 people a year. We keep six of them. I think that's a good.
It's a good rate, sure.
Because they get in with people, and it gives people an opportunity. And another thing that I found, you know, and I can't exactly remember when we started doing the trial membership. I've probably got people that left after the 3 months. Kids are a big part of it. Different styles of life, doing different jobs, changing. They're already back here as members. They come back 2 or 3 years later after things in their life changed.
Sure.
And they join back. So it's been a good, that's a good program, you know, that I think a lot of clubs should try and do, you know, to get people back into interested in trying this to see if it's a fit for them.
Absolutely.
Because it's worked for us here at Lockport.
Well, the other thing, too, I enjoy about country club, the lifestyle is, you know, pathways take people different ways in life, and some people move jobs, whatever, and you come, and Judd, I'm sure you've experienced this, all the clubs you worked at, people come together and they find people of you know, common interest, you know, common sure. themes, and perhaps something different, and you've got different age categories you play with each other. So Peter, who's been a long time member here, and I know he plays with some young bucks here, and I played with him last year, and he whipped them. It was awesome, but it's just great to see their friendship develop in two different age categories.
That's why you join a club. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Before we let these two gentlemen go here, let's get our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week in, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. The Western New York PGA has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond. And Jeff and I got the chance to play a few holes at Glen Oak together on Monday, and you noticed something on some of my shorter putts that I thought was a good tip that you saw, and I ended up, since playing twice since then, I've really been conscious of it, and it's been a big improvement. So just maybe a little talk about, especially I feel like I was doing it even just more so on shorter putts too, of that I was not going back far enough. If you want to kind of take it from there, Jeff, and then Judd, you can jump in with your take here on maybe just what you want to talk about with a putting stroke, especially for some shorter putts.
Yeah, so for putting, you need to get three things right. You got to read the putt correctly, you got to hit it on the line you intend, and you got to pick the right speed. So, but speed being the most important, you had a very short backstroke and we're trying to accelerate through the putt with a very long follow through. Very difficult to control your speed, and there's no rhythm or flow then. It becomes a like a stab or a poke as opposed to a stroke, a flowing stroke. And it also, when you change directions that quickly or that abruptly, it can make the face twist and stuff like that. So a little longer backstroke. I like people to have somewhat equidistant strokes, a little bit longer back, maybe a little bit shorter on the way through, kind of the opposite of what you had going, actually.
Yeah.
And that seems to give people the best feel and keep their blade square as long as possible. So if you notice your fellow competitors or you're out there playing and they have a really short backstroke and a really long follow through, you may want to actually try to work in the opposite direction. If you watch the good players on tour, the best putters, they don't have very abrupt strokes. They have flowing strokes, and they'll have a little bit longer backstroke in comparison to their follow-through for the most part.
Judd, you want to jump in? Just some thoughts on that?
Sure. I agree with Jeff, absolutely. You see a lot of amateurs that will get up and hit short putts, short backswing, and quick follow-through. I think it should be more flowing stroke. If you watch the guys on tour, they're back and through, pretty much equidistance back and through. And that's really important. A lot of guys get up there and hit it quick.
Yeah.
And you still got to hit it in the center of the blade and things like that. And that's how you get, you know, if you were trying to, one of my favorite drills, and we worked, I don't know if we worked on it with you, but you hit towards the collar of the green when you're on the putting
speed
green.
Speed drill.
Yeah, speed sure, drill. Yeah. Just putt to the collar and have it not touch the collar. Have it get as close as possible. And you'd find if you were doing that the best you could, you wouldn't have a very short backswing and a
right.
poke through there. You'd
we
have
just
a,
filmed that the
right.
other day. That drill
that's right.
will be
yep.
up at buffalosportspage.com in a few weeks. That drill, we filmed a bunch, and that was one of the ones putting. Judd, I think you would agree with this, too, for Brian, is standing over the putt and saying, God, I hope I make it. God, I hope I make this. It's probably not the best mental thing to say.
I think on those short ones, you got to get up there and pick your line and hit it. You don't want to think much about that. Just get up there and have confidence.
Yeah, but taking the longer backstroke, though, just in the last two rounds since then, it's definitely
making
been,
more putts.
Been, yeah, yeah. Been making
40
more,
putts so. Instead of 45.
That's right. That's right.
You'll notice your grip pressure will get a little lighter then too. Typically, people that have those short, quick strokes tend to have a tighter grip pressure.
Yeah.
Also,
the only guy who does that little is Snedeker, right?
Yeah,
the pop stroke.
He's about it. Not a lot of the guys.
Yeah,
Ricky Fowler's got a quicker stroke, but
yeah. Well, Rollin and Judd, thank you so much for having us here today. Appreciate your insight. And Rollin, again, if somebody wants to come and just get more information, where do you want to send them?
They could call the club at 433-5969. They can ask for me, ask for Melissa, and we'll take care of them. And it works easy. Just stop over.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, you.
Guys.
If they walk back here, they're going to be like, wow.
That's right.
This is you got the wow factor here, Rollin. You had it with the course.
He had it with the suit coat.
His dress. We've already done that. But
right.
when they come out back here, it's even greater wow factor.
That's right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It.
Judd Nutto, the PGA Pro here from Lockport Town & Country Club, and General Manager Rollin O'Malley. All right, before we go to break here, on the phone right now, joining us, the Tournament Director of the International Junior Masters, Jeff Kamian from East Aurora Country Club. A dramatic finish yesterday in the final. Jeff, good morning. I know it was a busy
morning,
week
guys.
For you. Thanks for giving us a few minutes here this morning on a day you'd probably maybe like to sleep in a little. But what a finish yesterday in your final. Can you give everybody some of the details?
Sure. It was very exciting. We had two similar players. Jacob Tarkany came to us from Arizona, and Nicolas Quintero, who was one of the Colombian contingent this year. And both keep the ball in the fairway. Both have very good short games and are good putters. And so Jacob started off, and he was two up like through eight holes, and Quintero just kind of kept chipping away at it. And chipping away is pretty appropriate on the 13th hole, it looked like Jacob was going to take the hole after you guys have been out there, and it's really possible to do this. And Quintero putted the ball off the green, and it looked like he was going to lose the hole, except for then he chipped it in to have the hole. And Quintero made a great sand save on number 14. And after Tarkany on 15 hit his tee shot to less than a foot, Quintero chipped in to have for birdie on 15. And that was kind of what kept him in the match. And then Quintero wound up winning the 17th hole, and they came down 18, and unfortunately Jacob drew a terrible lie in the rough on 18 and had to lay up in front of the water, and Nicholas Quintero kind of took all the drama out of it by stuffing his approach shot to about 5 feet.
Yeah.
And which sealed the win. And it's the first time, as great as the players Columbia has sent us over the years, it's the first time a Colombian has actually won the IJM.
Yeah, that's great. And I know for those that actually want to see some of these chip-ins that Jeff's talking about, if you go to the IJM Golf Twitter feed, that's where I saw some of those chips yesterday. It's pretty amazing. Jeff, can you just, for those that maybe didn't get a chance to hear you last week or our show last week, just this event now, this is the 66th annual. You said a winner from Colombia and how truly international it is. Just the realm of where it is. I know you guys were very happy with the strength of the field this year. Just tell everybody a little bit about just kind of what Nicholas accomplished this week in terms of who he was playing against.
Yeah, we had a really strong field. We had our lowest 36 hole cut that I can't say it was the lowest ever, but it's the lowest anybody can remember anyway. 36 hole cut was at 152, so the top 32 out of 80, the cut line was 152. As a reference, last week it was 156. So we had some very strong players. The Colombians and the Mexicans were very strong. And we had a record number of Canadians this year. I believe we had 28 Canadians in the field and very, very strong players. So during the week, we had a couple young men shoot 67, which is four under par. And we had a 68. And a young man, 14-year-old from Mexico, opened with a 78 and then shot 69 the next day. So these kids were very strong players, and one of the kids was Mark Turner. He's an 18-year-old from the Boston area, and he took, I believe it's Parzali. Everybody knows him from the amateur at the Masters and the U.S. Open. He's a Boston firefighter.
Yep,
very strong player, and Mark Turner took him to 18 holes at the Mass amateur last year. So very strong player. So and when I say strong player too, he hits the ball a mile. So our 335 yard fifth hole. It was a very strong field this year.
Yeah,
Jeff, which one are you? Which one did you invite for the member guest this year?
Yeah, no kidding. That would be nice to have.
No doubt. Well, I know that now. For those that want to see Nicholas, he gets an automatic invite to the Porter Cup as well, which will will be in about a month or so from now. So that's a cool thing for him as well. We talked about that last week. The connection now there. And as we said, it's a path to playing a pro event, because now he's in the Porter Cup, and if you win the Porter Cup, you can be in the web.com event at Peak and Peak. Yeah. So it's, I mean, what a way to get a career going here if everything lines up for him.
Absolutely. And one thing I'll point about Nicholas Quintero is that you know, he was our first day co-medalist. He was our overall co-medalist, and then he won five matches essentially to win this thing. So he certainly earned it. And he's the type of player. I don't know how low he can go over at Niagara Falls, but he's sure not going to go high because he just keeps the ball in the fairway. He hits it long enough, and he's got just a wonderful short game.
Yeah. Jeff Kamian, the tournament director of the International Junior Masters, the 66th edition just being wrapped up this week, and a Colombian, the champion for the first time. Jeff, we loved coming out there and checking it out. By the way, just before we let Jeff go, kudos to Jeff and PGA Pro David Jones and everybody at East Aurora and the rest of the Western New York PGA Pros that held what they did for the first time ever is they had the PGA Junior League teams, all of them there, and had over 40 golfers playing on Tuesday after the players played in the morning. And I know from being there, what a cool event. And Jeff, I know that you're not one to pat yourself on the back, but for you and for David and for the rest of the PGA pros involved in that, that was a tremendous thing. And I know that you guys were overwhelmed with the response, and I know that it's going to just take off from there. It was a great event.
Yeah, we were thrilled that we were surprised we had such a response to it, but it was a lot of fun out there. It was a beehive of activity around the practice green, and we were grateful for the help from Chris Kalinske and John Daddario and the other PGA pros coming out there directing traffic for us. But what a fun event that was.
Yep. Jeff, thanks again. Congratulations on another great tournament, and we'll be talking with you soon.
Sounds good. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks.
All right, Jeff.
Thanks. Jeff Kamian, Tournament Director of the International Junior Masters at East Aurora. Okay, time out here. When we come back, we'll talk about Tigers, a couple of rounds. We'll talk about the Duster Challenge. And a gentleman that was in our Michelob Ultra Challenge, which we're going to pass some info along, who happens to be a member here at Lockport, is going to join us next. So more coming up here. Tee to Green, rolling on live from Lockport Town and Country Club with Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro, Jeff Midas. I'm Brian Colziel. Back with more in a moment right here on WGR. Welcome back, TD Green, live at Lockport Town and Country Club. We're sitting on the beautiful patio. Going to be a nice, warm weekend here. Great place to hang out. Want to thank our guests from last segment, the general manager, Roland O'Malley, and the PGA pro here, Judd Noto, for their insight and good opinions on some of our roundtable topics. If you're just joining us and you missed that portion of the show, we'll send it out a little bit later on Twitter at BrianWGR. It'll also be up on our on-demand section at WGR550.com. You heard it is time for the check of the PGA Tour leaderboard, the Quicken Loans tournament this week, the Invitational, I believe is what it's called there, at TPC Potomac. And this week right now, they've got a three-way tie for the lead. Bo Hostler, Ryan Armour, Brian Gay are all at -9. But, of course, all of the story is about what Tiger Woods did yesterday. Shot a 5-under-65. He is 4 off the lead. And the buzz coming into the week was about the fact that he made a putting change, a putter change, I should say,
no
Kevin.
No shock to me.
Yes.
He needed to change something.
Scotty is in the bag. He's got a tailor-made putter now.
He needed to change something. He was missing short putts. That was one of his hallmark, his trademarks, right? The clutch short putt.
Yep. And he's
he was the best putter in the world forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
And that's if he would have putted just normal at Memorial, he would have won by 4 strokes.
Right. Figured.
He was -7 on the field in strokes gained putting.
Well, I was watching Thursday when he shot even par 70, and he had probably 5 holes in a row from like 12 through like 17 there or so where he could have made them all. Like back in the day, he would have made 5 or 6 or, 4 or 5, and he made 1 birdie.
Right.
And a lot of times when they were showing it in replay ground view, like it looked like he was hitting it square. The ball, he's got the line on the ball. It was rolling
the fang type
right over where it was. He looked like he was misreading it. So it's got to be some confidence, too, in terms of what he's reading and things like that.
And it's a unique putter because it's heel shafted in that version of putter. I guess it's got a little bit of toe flow.
Yeah.
So it's a little closer to, as far as a change goes, than it would be a mallet.
I asked Bo Hostler, who's in the lead, about the spider putters, right? You've seen more and more of the better players use the spider putter, and it was a restroom conversation, okay? But anyhow, I
bet he was comfortable.
No. Yeah. I asked him when we were done. Anyhow, I said, hey, Bo, because I've been following him at the Memorial, and I said,
you know, what is it about that spider putter? I said, you know, I had been told that there's a toe hang. He's like, they just go in. Yeah. He jumped, but he goes, actually, it's easier to line up on the short ones. That's what he felt. That's why a lot of music, it's easier to line up, he felt.
You don't think TaylorMade's selling any of those putters this week, do you?
Oh, they were loving every putt that rolled in yesterday. No doubt about it. So if you want to watch Woods today, he tees off at 12:25 with Joel Damon.
Oh, Joel. Yeah.
Kev?
Anything?
Joel Damon, everybody. Okay, good transition.
I know he's not related to Johnny.
Has Tiger met Joel Damon? Let's play that game.
I know I haven't.
Yes.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, joining us here from Lockport Town and Country Club, one of their members, and the reason we bring him on, also because of the fact we happen to know him from last year's Michelob Ultra Challenge. Kevin and I.
He owns the greatest performance in that event. The 2-year existence of it. Yes.
Mike Venditti is with us here. He's a member at Lockport, and he's also a good golfer in his own. Oh. He's a high school golf coach, and I've gotten to know him through some of our Tee to Green events. So, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming in. I know Kevin and I still can't get the fact, can't get it, our memory out of the head when you played in our Mick Ultra Challenge last year. Of your drive that never varied from just being straight and down the middle every single time.
Yeah, I wish it was like that every day. Unfortunately, it isn't. You know, Coach Lear and I had a great time last year when you guys invited us out.
You had a great time.
it was a great time playing at Santori with you two guys, and we appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you know what? You guys were fun to play with, and it was – you both played well, but, you know, we used – we did – what did we do? Shamble? We did best ball, then shamble, best ball, and then we figured, all right, alternate shot.
Yeah,
we got him. We only played two holes of all day to close us out. That's how dominant it was. Yeah.
It was a good day for
us. And then we bet and lost, too. So, yeah, it was a good day for you guys.
Good day for them. We're going to talk about our Michelob Ultra Challenge for this year. The one rule we have put in is that now Mike is ineligible to play.
That's correct.
That's
if
right.
If you've competed in it once,
that's
you
right.
are ineligible to play in the Michelob Ultra Challenge. What this is you know, we pick two golfers to come and compete against us. That's Brian and me in an 18-hole match. And yeah, we may change the format this year to favor us more.
That's right.
I think. But here's the deal. You have to be 21 years old, right? Okay? Because it's sponsored by Michelob Ultra. So that should be obvious. That makes sense. You have to either via Facebook or Twitter send us a photo of you with Michelob Ultra. All right? Now, it just be one person. We'll let you pick your partner. But you have to send us a photo of you with Michelob Ultra, whether it's enjoying it responsibly or if it's just a photo, you know, of you.
You at the store, you at a golf course, whatever. Right.
Yeah. Hashtag
exactly.
Michelob Ultra Golf.
Send it. Maybe you're at a bar, you're in front of the tap of it or something
right.
like that. Yeah,
exactly. At Brian WGR, at Kev Sylvester. Those are the we'll tweet all this stuff.
Right. And you got to use the hashtag Michelob Ultra Golf.
That's correct.
That's right.
Now, you know, we've yet to have a woman apply for this in the 2 years. And I know there's a lot of ladies who play golf and play golf. Well, no, I'm just saying this is not just open to guys. This is open to
everybody.
Women, too. So
it's got
to
be over 21.
Just have
21
to be over
and
21.
That's right.
That's it.
Absolutely.
And we're not ashamed to get beat by women.
We'll get beat by anybody, pretty much. It's happened
well,
in the past.
Well, listen, I want to win it.
Well, yeah.
And there's a nice prize pack for Michelob Ultra if you beat us.
If they don't,
they'll still get it, Jeff.
Jeez,
we're
trying to make the prize thing. Here. This is how it works.
Well, with your new putting stroke, Brian,
That's right. Mike Venditti, one of the members here at Lockport, joining us. He was in last year's Michelob Ultra Challenge, and yes, beat us. We're going to move on from that. Mike, what do you like about playing here?
There's so much, guys. It's kind of my home away from home, and I appreciate you coming out. I'm a big fan of the show, by the way. Appreciate what you guys do for golf in Western New York. I could talk about the membership, how, you know, when I joined in 2015, you think country club, and sometimes there's a tendency to think of maybe the word stuffiness or pretentiousness, and there's none of that here with the membership, which I find fantastic. The staff is amazing, from Judge Golf staff all the way to the people through the restaurant. But for me, and Brian knows me pretty well, it's all about the golf course, and that's what I'm about. And for those that listening that haven't played, I would just encourage you to come out and play 18 holes. You will fall in love with the place. You know, I typically play from the back tees, which Judd was mentioning earlier, and it's just a little bit over 6,500 yards, which is not long, but it provides so many challenges in so many different ways. You rarely get a flat lie, even if in the fairway. the greens, which Judd mentioned, and compared to Shinnecock, are very difficult. A lot of three putts out there. And it's a fun course to play. Like, you never get tired of playing it because of there's a drivable par four, a couple of very long par fours. There's a sense of charm to it, which I enjoy. You could play five and the train's going by on the tracks, or you're on 13, you're right by the canal, and it's a great spot.
How do you play 14?
This year I've been a little bit more aggressive. I've been trying to knock it on. Usually a three wood gets there, so you don't have to take driver out. You can easily play iron and play it safe. But even if you go for the green from the tee, you can end up with a very awkward lie around the green, and it's got a lot of slope to it. So again, it has its defense, even though it's a short hole.
Yeah, and the data will tell you should, if you can reach it, you should try to drive. You got a better chance to get up and down from closer to the green.
Mike, here's one thing I know that you've always mentioned with me too, and the times that you've invited me out here, as you said that it's easy to get out. That's one thing here too, that there's not massive numbers waiting a T1 here. I know that's one thing you always say is a nice thing about being here.
It's when I bring some guests out, they're amazed how often, it's not every time, but a large majority of the time you're out there and we're playing 18 holes in 3 hours, and you there's no congestion. Very rarely do you have trouble getting off the first tee without waiting, and just that ease factor of coming out and playing it's a big push with the USGA right now. I know it's times of the rounds, and the fact you can get out here and play quickly is just such a bonus.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, there was an invitational invite on the line. Had we won, you were going to play in the invite this year, right?
Yeah, but
we blew that. We blew that for you, didn't we?
I think so.
All right.
Hey, how's the golf team shaping up for the fall?
Sorry, there's a little awkward tension between the two of them.
No,
that happened, but anyhow.
Brian's mood changed. Yeah. That's right.
Brian's like, yeah. Forgot about that. Yeah.
So you've coached high school golf at Williamsville South. So, I mean, working with high school players, what are some of those challenges like?
Yeah, it's fun. As a high school coach, the season is so short, you really don't want to tinker with a golf swing too much because you could really throw them haywire in that short amount of time. I enjoy trying to impart some of the things I've come across as far as course management, kind of how to read greens, what type of shot to play in certain situations, when to be aggressive, when not to be. And it's just fun working with kids of that age and kind of seeing them progress through the years you have them.
Yeah. Mike Venditti, the member here at Lockport Town and Country Club, with us here on Tee to Green. Mike, before we let you go, as you are a nice supporter of the show, you did participate in our annual Duster Challenge, which we should say is coming up. Registration, DusterChallenge.com. It's Friday, August 3rd at Fox Valley. Can you? You've been doing such a nice job here of speaking here so far. So can you throw a plug for those who that might have thought about signing up for that event? I know you said you had a good time in Atlanta.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the first chance I had to meet both Kevin and Jeff, and it's a good time. You know, I had a couple buddies out last year, and I do have one issue with the one pin placement. That's, I think Kevin may be responsible for that, from what I understand.
It's been discussed.
It's been discussed. Okay.
Wait a second. You're talking about hole 15.
I am.
We made it easier last year than it was in the first Duster Challenge.
Still very difficult. But no, it's a good time. You get
around. Don't ask Jeff his thoughts on that.
It got competitive. I can't remember the name of the gentleman I went against in the second round. Of the Duster last year, but I think we went like 7 or 8 or 9 playoff holes. And
that's
it was
right.
It was a blast.
Yeah. I didn't notice you signed up again.
I'm on it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
He's in it.
Listen, there's a discount. There's a 10% discount right now. Registration's normally $50. Right now it's $45 up until the 4th of July, all right? Which is about a calendar month out because it's August 3rd. We figure we'll go through July 3rd with that discount. So
you got till Wednesday to do it.
Got till Wednesday. DusterChallenge.com to sign up. And space is limited, so make sure you don't get shut out there. There's always a late push for it every year. Beat the late push. Save $5 on it and use those to buy a raffle ticket. For one of our new sponsors, T-Squared Putters of Orchard Park, they are creating a putter for the Duster Challenge that'll be raffled.
It's going to be one
there.
Of our, yeah.
They
one
do
of our
custom putters, there. Some amazing, amazing stuff. I've tested them out, and Brian along with a tip.
Pretty cool.
These putters are great. Yeah. So we're excited about that. And see everybody there.
We're going to donate some proceeds to the Western New York PGA Reach.
Reach Foundation? Yep.
Yes.
That's exciting for me.
What does that do again, Jeff, for everybody that maybe doesn't know that?
Well, locally, the Reach Foundation supports some of our programs, like our HOPE program, which is Helping Patriots Everywhere, where we work with wounded veterans through the VA. And golf's a great recuperative tool for them as they readjust.
Awesome. Looking forward to that. Mike, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
You got the tee time for us here in about 12 minutes?
We're all set.
Okay, awesome. Looking forward to that. Mike Vendetti, member here at Lockport Town and Country Club, joining us here on Tee to Green. When we come back, the U.S. Senior Open's going on this week. We'll update you on that leaderboard as we roll on here from the beautiful patio on a gorgeous weekend here at Lockport Town and Country Club with Kevin Sylvester and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. I'm Brian Colziel. Back right after this on WGR. Back here, Tee to Green at Lockport Town and Country Club, our Check of the Champions Tour. This week, the U.S. Senior Open, Jerry Kelly is your leader. They're playing in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and Kelly is in the lead after two rounds. He's one shot ahead of...
Steve Stricker?
No, the most interesting man in golf.
Oh, Miguel.
Miguel Jimenez.
Didn't he get married?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
A couple years ago, yes.
That's right.
He lived on a boat.
I know the stories,
right.
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
What a life, right?
Yeah.
Kelly is minus five, Jimenez one back at minus four. Former Atlanta Braves pitcher, Hall of Famer, John Smoltz, actually qualified for this.
Right.
And missed the cut. He struggled in round 185, but then shot a 77 yesterday, which was almost the average score yesterday. So he just kind of, you know, getting his feel of it, ended up going 85-77, missed the cut, but... a little extra buzz with having a Hall of Fame pitcher in the field
He made comments to, like, this is one of the greatest accomplishments of his life. This is a Hall of Fame pitcher who was an unbelievable
starter. Cy Young, World Series, Hall of Fame, baseball.
It went from being a starter to one of the best relievers in the game,
right? Yeah.
And, you know, Hall of Famer, and here he is. He makes the U.S. Senior Open. And I get it, right? I mean, everybody with golf, you get it if you could qualify for it. Like, how many golfers you know, like, well, I'm going to get my game in shape so I can go on the Senior Champions Tour?
Right.
And you're like... You know how difficult it is to make PGA Tour champions? And then here's somebody who's able to do that in the U.S. Senior Open. That's pretty special.
Absolutely.
Know?
No, I agree with you. Another big event going on this week is the Women's PGA Championship. Three-way tie for the lead. And one of those leaders is one that is very familiar. Kev, you've got to play golf with her. Brooke Henderson is amongst the three-way tie for the lead right now.
Yeah, well, she's a fantastic. She's probably the biggest star in Canadian golf right now. My buddy Mark Sacchino would argue he is, but no. Brooke Henderson, I mean, look, all apologies to David Hearn, and why am I forgetting? Adam Hadwin. Who's probably the best men's player out of Canada right now. But Brooke Henderson is the star of Canadian golf right now. Fantastic player.
She's excellent. And I know, Jeff, since the PGA of America has kind of taken over it's been rebranded. It's the Women's PGA Championship.
It's the old Wegmans,
right?
Tournament.
It's one that at times has been floated around, but yes, was in Rochester too. But the big sponsorship with it, the PGA attachment to it, this event has gotten a lot bigger now on the ladies' side.
Yeah, it's part of the PGA's push for to get more women playing golf, and there's 50% of the population that we need to get playing more golf, and you watch people like Brooke Henderson and stuff, and you say, and we talked about it before on the show. It feels like in the last few years, the women's tour is doing better. It feels like the women's events are getting better. They're starting to get more publicity. They're starting to get more press. People are starting to appreciate how really talented, skilled, and athletic these women are.
Yep. A couple of things on Tiger's round before we go here, just that I wanted to throw in. Yesterday, he made four putts of 15 feet or longer. That's the most that he's done since 2014 at the Honda Classic. So. And yesterday he made 144 feet worth of putts versus 76 the previous day. It's essentially half.
That's the first time in 4 years he's made that. That sounds unbelievable to me that he hasn't made four putts over 15 feet.
Well, you got to remember he hasn't played a whole lot.
True, but still, you think one day you'd make a couple.
The make percentage. You look at the make percentage on those numbers, and it's. Astonishingly low.
Isn't the make percentage at 6 feet? It's or 5 feet. It's almost 50%. It drops
like
68% off
68% at 5 feet,
and then at six feet it goes to 50.
Yeah, then it starts dropping off.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that number, and you watch the best players. When you're watching people that are winning, their make percentage inside of 10 feet is like It's always way up there. Way
I
want
to say Jason Day, this was up until to the Memorial, hadn't missed 5 feet or less. Hadn't missed all year.
Amazing.
Well, that's Tiger incredible. Tiger had a stat for years where he went like 500 for 501 inside of 3 feet for,
yes.
when he was at the best. Now, yeah. That's why he's switching putters, I guess, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Also, before we go here, Kevin, I know you and I on Tuesday are playing in the Pro-Am event for the Lecom,
yes.
which is next week. Peak and Peak, if you're looking for something to do, maybe on the 4th you have the day off, or if you know later in the week, obviously somebody might have a holiday day or two. It's at Peak and Peak. That's another local event going on next week.
4th would just be practice rounds. That's usually the Pro-Am day, but they moved it to Tuesday the 3rd because of the holiday.
So the first round's Thursday the 5th. I'm sorry.
Thursday the 5th is the first round of competition down there, and you know, you want to bring your kids and get autographs and stuff, like, it would be a place to go.
Well, Tim Freeze and I are starting on Friday, so we will be available for autographs shortly after that.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes, yes.
Selfies, of course, you're willing to
take. So you'd be announcing on the tee, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, now on the tee.
Yes.
From Williamsville, New York.
I'll be watching a lot of Jim Nance videos this week to prepare myself.
Now, this is, I played in it last year, and, you know, Brian, you're going to love the experience of playing with a tour pro. You'll get a cart for the amateurs. The pros still have to walk with their caddies. That is a tough walk, and they're going to do it, you know, 5-6 days.
And they're not wearing shorts yet, right?
They are not wearing shorts, no. And it's going to be 90 on Tuesday. I'm going to be wearing shorts. There's no question about that.
I will definitely be wearing shorts.
We should represent.
Are we going to wear the tee to green shirts?
We should represent.
All right. Well, I'll wash it because it's hot right now. So I might. This one might have a little sweat.
The only
on
problem with the only problem representing is, like, I know too many guys are like, "Hey, can I get one of those?" I'll say, "Yes, go to your pro shop and ask for Donald Ross."
Yeah, that's right.
That's how you do it.
We have him at Glen Oak.
There you
that's
go.
That's right. Or go to Glen Oak. That's right. Let's thank everybody here at Lockport Town and Country Club again, Roland O'Malley and Judd Noto, for joining us here, the PGA Pro.
How cool is this look with all the umbrellas? Like,
now
I can just
up.
Picture everybody here jamming on a Friday, Saturday night wedding here.
It's a perfect spot, like cocktail hour right out here. Everybody's just kind of hanging out. And
your 50th, Brian, be awesome.
It would be. I can book it now, 10 years from now, right? 50th anniversary or 50th birthday?
Either. I think either would be great here for you.
Okay.
50's not so old.
I hear you.
That's right. How many years until that, Jeff, for you?
We're talking months.
All right, let's book it.
We'll
I don't know if I'd be booked
now.
Already.
We'll book it. Yeah, there
right.
we go.
But thanks for everybody here. Again, feel free to call Roland at the club or Melissa if you want to come out and get a tour or check out the course. I will echo what Mike Vendetti, the member, said here, that it is a very, very welcoming place. And if you've ever thought about joining a club, this is a great, great spot to go ahead and do it.
I haven't met anybody who's played here that hasn't said, wow.
Yeah,
it does have the wow factor all the way around. It really does.
No doubt about it. So thank you for everybody for, again, the warm hospitality. And we thank you for listening as we want you all to have a safe and happy 4th of July week.
Stay hydrated.
That's right. It's going to be hot. Drink lots of fluids.
Yes,
no
responsibly,
doubt.
And stay hydrated.
That's right. For Kevin Sylvester, PJ Pro, Jeff Meadus, I'm Brian Colziel, Kyle Powell back in our Amherst studios. Thank you, Kyle. The entire show will be up on our on-demand audio section, WGR550.com. I'll also tweet it out as well, at BrianWGR. Have a great holiday week. We'll talk to you next Saturday right here on Tee to Green at 7 o'clock.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.